Urgent and Important, written by Doing the Most, read by Hello Moon. Summary. Ruth, Stevie says again, softer this time. She leans forward, squeezing Ruth's hand. The biggest thing you could do to make things better is to relax. Just calm down a little, okay? Everything's going to be fine. There's a protest on Ruth's lips. She can relax. She has a morning meditation streak that's lasted for over a year. She does level 3 hot yoga. She's hit her sleep goal for 27 consecutive days. She's good at relaxing. She opens her mouth and closes it when she sees the knowing look on Stevie's face. Stevie challenges Ruth to find a hobby that isn't work. It's more work than Ruth anticipated. You need a hobby. Ruth opens her mouth to interject, but Stevie gets to it faster. And no, Ruth, work can't be your hobby. Stevie's gone before Ruth even realizes what's happening, retreating to the safety of the bedroom and leaving Ruth to cool off. It's slow going at first. Ruth can't get her fists to unclench. Her face feels like it's on fire. They've never had a proposal this big, and Ruth had finished her portion a week ago. Stevie's been putting it off for days. Of course, Ruth's going to remind her to do it. And okay, maybe she'd have heard a little bit. Maybe she followed up too many times, or asked to help more times than she should have. But if Stevie really cared about work, why wouldn't she just do it? I don't function the same way you do, Stevie says later, arms crossed. She's already in mismatched pajamas. Her legs are tucked under the covers, and her glasses are crooked on her nose. Ruth has never loved her more. What do you mean? She asks tentatively, clasping her hands in her lap. She's perched on the edge of the bed, wordlessly asking for forgiveness before she comes any closer. Stevie, what can I do better? That should be a good start to mending the fissures she's created between them, Ruth thinks. Stevie presses her lips together, though, flattening them into a thin line, and exhales hard through her nose. You can't look at us like that, Stevie says. Her eyes drop down to the quilt Ruth keeps on her bed. A patchwork of all her high school and college sports jerseys. I can't give you a to-do list that you can check off to fix things when we fight. That's not what I... Listen to me. Stevie finds her gaze and holds it, her eyes defensive. Ruth, I love you. You know that I do. Ruth bites her lip. She hates the tension between them, the tightness in her throat, the shakiness in her hands. I love you too, she says quietly. You and I are going to work out. I know that we are. So there has to be something I can do to make things better. There's a solution to everything. She just has to find it. She's always been a planner, a fixer, a conductor. Mr. Rose once said that she was his linebacker, and he'd trust her to carry the ball any day. She's pretty sure he meant to say running back, and yes, she looked up a football glossary after that board meeting to ensure she was correct. But she appreciates the sentiment all the same. Ruth, Stevie says again, softer this time. She leans forward, squeezing Ruth's hand. The biggest thing you can do to make things better is to relax. Just calm down a little, okay? Everything's going to be fine. There's a protest on Ruth's lips. She can relax. She has a morning meditation streak that's lasted for over a year. She does level 3 hot yoga. She's hit her sleep goal for 27 consecutive days. She's good at relaxing. She opens her mouth, then closes it when she sees the knowing look on Stevie's face. Okay, she says after a moment. She turns her palm up, lacing their fingers together. Okay, maybe you have a point. Of course I do. Stevie gives her a tiny little half smile, her eyes still on Ruth's. I'm your COO, and you trust me to do my job. Ruth leans her forehead against Stevie's, closing her eyes. I do. So trust me on this, Stevie says, then repeats. Everything's going to be fine. Just breathe, okay? Okay. Ruth does as she's told, breathing in through her nose and out through her mouth, and slowly, gradually, the tension starts to fade. Stevie stays with her the whole time, her hand tight on Ruth's, her touch a tactile reminder of what they can accomplish when they're together. See? Stevie reaches up with her other hand, running her fingers through Ruth's hair. You're feeling better, right? Yeah. Ruth tries to smile, embarrassed. Who knew my cranky girlfriend could ever be so optimistic? Stevie shrugs one shoulder. I met you, she says simply, and pulls Ruth in for a kiss. Need a hobby, Stevie had said. And no, Ruth, work can't be your hobby. Ruth ponders this the next day over a plate of 7-minute eggs on homemade toast. It's her best batch yet. 66% hydration looks to be the perfect sweet spot, and she's ground the spelt berries herself before mixing the resulting flour with AP. She angles her head towards the living room, then calls out, Bread baking's my hobby. No, Stevie says immediately. It's not a hobby if you have to keep a journal about it. Ruth wrinkles her nose, her brow furrowed. Why wouldn't she keep track of her baking pursuits? How else is she supposed to push the boundaries of glutinous perfection? This is very limiting, she says when she's walked over to the couch and taken a seat next to her girlfriend. Just like you work differently than me, I work differently than you. I like cataloging and tracking things. Doing so doesn't automatically mean that it stresses me out. Stevie levels her with a deadpan expression, her eyebrows raised in a subtle challenge. That's a fair point, she allows. But what about that one weekend that you spent 15 minutes measuring the bread to calculate its volume of fries, then got all crabby and frustrated when it wasn't as big as the last one? I just want to replicate the best one, Ruth says quickly. Perhaps too quickly. Stevie just barely manages to suppress a laugh. Did you find that to be relaxing? Ruth purses her lips. She wants to further discuss the issue, but she knows enough about their relationship and her girlfriend to already understand that that debate isn't a shared interest. Okay, point taken. Running might work. Running could be her hobby. A child of two professionals with long hours, Ruth grew up playing sports until her parents could pick her up after work. There had been soccer first, then cross country and track and field, before she settled on tennis and field hockey. And while she's been known to enjoy the occasional run through Riverside Park, she's never felt the urge to do it competitively. It should be safe.
Alexis.
Hey, are you free this weekend? I was thinking we'd go on a run. Sure, yeah, I'm free. What day? Either would work for me. Sunday at 6? Yeah, I'll see you Sunday 6 p.m. Can we actually do 6 a.m.? That way I can have time during the day for my meal prep and weekly review. Can we do 11 a.m.? Angel face emoji. 8 a.m.? 10 a.m.? 9 a.m.? Yes. It's fun. Ruth hasn't seen Alexis in a little while, due to their conflicting work schedules. It's hard for them to get together when their girlfriends aren't in town. They run at similar brisk paces too. A perfect match. Ruth can understand why people like this. The Hudson River to their right, the trees lining the sidewalk, the buzz of the city around them. Somehow, though, Alexis manages to talk the whole way through. About Interflix and RMG, about something sweet Twyla did for her the previous week, about something embarrassing that David and Stevie once did when Alexis used to live in Schitt's Creek. Ruth's panting next to her, trying to breathe through a stomach cramp, but Alexis keeps merrily striding forward. We should race, Ruth says after a moment, as they turn around to run back to the Upper West Side. What do you think? Sure. Alexis shoots her a sideways grin. One time, I bet my life on whether I could outrun this dictator's enforcer. Good thing I won, since he had like five... She cuts herself off when she sees the look on Ruth's face, shimming her shoulders. Race to like 60th? Yeah. And then they're off, sprinting uptown. It's the most alive that Ruth's felt in a long while. The first time she's gotten a chance to completely free her mind of work. Running could absolutely be her hobby, she thinks. But then Alexis starts inching ahead of her. Something seems to snap in Ruth's mind. She has to be first. She has to be fastest. She can't be the one who loses. She pushes herself harder than she's run in a while, but Alexis makes it to 60th before her. That was fun, Alexis says, stretching her arms above her head. Jog back to yours? Ruth shakes her head. Let's go again. The 70th. Alexis's breezy smile seems to falter, but she nods, and once the light turns green, they're off again. Ruth's half-winded, though, running slower than the first race, while Alexis looks like she hasn't even broken a sweat. She wins again, a sympathetic look on her face, while Ruth tries to regulate her heartbeat. Listen, Alexis says. You know I love you, babe, but usually when I run, I'm like looking for something a little less intense. Ruth straightens up, wincing at the ache in her back and legs. Yeah, she says, chagrined. I kind of have this thing. Were you like always going balls to the wall? Alexis replies, laughing when Ruth winces again. I totally get it. Ruth sighs. Stevie thinks I need to relax. I mean, maybe she's not wrong. Alexis pulls her mouth to one side, twisting her lips apologetically before she says, What about, like, shopping? I'm a CFO, Ruth says. Spending money for fun isn't really my thing. Fair. Alexis tilts her head, considering this. Ooh, what about, like, self-care, like baths and stuff? It's not a bad idea. I could try that, Ruth says. Thanks, Alexis. I promise next time we go running, I won't be... She waves a hand and Alexis smiles. You know. I know, Alexis says. Good luck. It's been 15 minutes since Ruth got in this bath. The lights are off, and a few candles flicker all around the bathroom. Music's playing, and the scent of lavender fills the air. The water's still warm, and her eyes are closed. It's pleasant enough. She can see why people like this, but all she can think about is what else she could be doing with her time. All of the items on her to-do list that she pushes off to the next day. All of the cleaning she's supposed to take care of this week. Stevie never seems to have issues lying around and doing nothing. That's my hobby, she'd said earlier, flat on the couch and scrolling through her phone. So why can't Ruth just be still? Maybe she's not cut out for this. She's always been on the go, even as a kid. Back then, there had been spelling bees to win, A's to earn, extracurriculars to join. She'd stack accomplishments on top of each other in her mind, a precarious balancing act that only she'd been keeping track of. Who is she without her achievements? What will others think if she stops doing, winning, existing? And what does it say about her that she equates success with existence? She pushes herself up and out of the bathtub, wrapping her robe around her. The water and air feel ice cold all of a sudden, and she can't stand to spend another moment in the bathroom's suffocating darkness. She sits down next to Stevie, curled up in front of the living room television, and reaches for her hand. Something's wrong with me, she whispers once Stevie has turned to look at her. Her lip trembles, betraying her. I don't know why this is so hard. Stevie turns to face her, sandwiching Ruth's hand between both of hers. There's a softness in her eyes that almost hurts to see. Hey, she says. Her voice is quiet, insistent. Nothing is wrong with you, okay? Ruth nods dutifully, biting her lip. I know you don't believe me, Stevie adds, but I know it's true. And I know that as smart as you are, and how scary you are at work, and how proud you are of all that you've accomplished, you're more than all of that, you know? Stevie. Ruth's gaze drops to their hands. Her voice is hollow when she murmurs. I don't know. What would her life be without her career? The connections she's made? The successes that she's earned? Who would she be without her degree? Her title? Her skills? Her self-worth? They're all tangled together in her mind, woven into a knot she can't even begin to unravel. Stevie inches closer, carefully, until she's in Ruth's lap, tugging her arms around Stevie's waist and snuggling in tight. I didn't fall in love with you because of that big, stupid brain of yours. And I definitely don't care about all your high school clubs. I love you because of you, not because of what you've done. Ruth sniffles, tucking her face into Stevie's neck. I don't know how to tell the two apart, she admits. God, Stevie, I can't even sit in a bath. Hey, I don't like baths either. Stevie turns her head, kissing Ruth's cheek. Just because this didn't work out doesn't mean that we won't find something else for you. I have faith, okay? Yeah, Ruth says, tightening her hold on Stevie. I'll try. They go to Schitt's Creek after checking up on the newest RMG branch, setting their bags in David and Patrick's guest room, before making their way into the rest of the cottage. Twyla's been making plans for her move to New York, but the big day is still a few months away. She's in the kitchen, helping with dinner, while David fusses over something on the stove. Stevie pours them all glasses of wine, and Ruth sips slowly from hers as she meanders into Patrick's study. "What are you working on?" she asks, hovering in the doorframe. "Cogs for the last quarter of the store." Patrick pushes an extra chair out, gesturing for her to sit next to him. "I bet it's nowhere near as sophisticated as your financials, but..." "Numbers are numbers," she says easily, meaning it. "I like the color coding on your pivot charts." He grins, looking a little self-conscious. "Thanks." "Of course." Patrick looks through the sheets, scrolling through them. He doesn't have to track as many values as she does, of course, with only a single location. But they're still speaking the same language. "How's work going?" Patrick asks. "Everything good?" "Yeah." Ruth takes a sip from her wine, wondering if he knows about how looking for a hobby has recently become her hobby, then gives him a self-deprecating little smile. "I've kind of..." she shrugs the shoulder. "Stressed out, I guess." "You have a big job." Patrick looks at her evenly, without judgment in his open brown eyes. "I get it." "Of course he does," she realizes with a start. "He completely gets it." And suddenly she's leaning forward, gesturing with her other hand as she begins to open up. "It's just a lot, you know. Working with Stevie and Mr. Rose, I've always thrived under pressure. Or at least I thought I did. But ever since Stevie and I started dating, it's been..." She trails off, looking up as Patrick smiles. "I get it," he says again. "You want to do well at your job, and you want the business to succeed, and you want the Roses to be proud of you." There's an echo of her wry expression on his face. "And you definitely don't want your partner to be mad if things tank." "Yeah," Ruth says it on an exhale, releasing a breath she hadn't realized she'd been holding. "Absolutely." "Has it been that all along? Has her relationship with Stevie compounded her work stress and had an exponential effect on her anxieties?" "Maybe so. Or maybe she's always had issues with this, but she'd learned to live with the tension underneath her skin and her heartbeat pounding in her ears. Maybe she never realized how hard it is for her to stop her mind from racing, how easily she replays her mistakes in her mind, how badly she craves recognition and approval. Maybe she'd never need to think about this until Stevie came into her life and discovered that she'd been quietly drowning." "She loves you," Patrick adds, pulling her out of her thoughts. Ruth had nearly forgotten he was there. "I've never seen her like this, you know. You two are really, really good for each other." She turns her head, looking vaguely in the direction of the kitchen. She can hear the sound of Stevie's laughter mingling with David and Twyla's, and a spark of fondness settles solidly in her heart. "I know," she says, turning back to Patrick. Suddenly, it's a lot easier to breathe. "I love her too." A comfortable silence settles between them, interrupted only by the quiet clicks of Patrick's trackpad, before Ruth leans in and gestures to the screen. "I can show you a new VBA hack," she suggests. "Hell yeah." The next time that Stevie's in New York, Ruth wraps herself around her girlfriend's body, tangling their legs together, and presses a kiss to her neck. "I have a lot of hobbies," she murmurs, holding Stevie's gaze when she shifts in her arms to better look at Ruth. "I like doing different things. I like being good at doing different things. And I know that's not necessarily bad, wanting to be good at things. But I guess that I've been scared of what it means to be bad at something. It's hard for me to do something just for the sake of enjoying it. So my hobbies feel like work, which I've also been kind of intense about lately, too." Stevie gives a little nod, tracing her thumb over Ruth's jaw. "Kind of intense?" she asks, cocking one eyebrow, and Ruth laughs. "I've been intense," Ruth agrees. "And it's like, I'm not good at doing nothing, and you are." "The best," Stevie says. "The master of doing nothing." "Yeah." Ruth tugs her closer as Stevie shifts in her arms, then nestles her chin in Stevie's hair and breathes in the scent of her own shampoo. She loves smelling it on Stevie. "So I figure, if I like keeping myself occupied, but keeping myself occupied stresses me out, I should work on that." "It makes sense." Stevie's silent for a moment, considering this, before she speaks again, her voice so quiet that Ruth almost can't hear it. "I want to keep you around, and if you run yourself into the ground because you keep pushing yourself too hard..." "I know." Ruth closes her eyes, drawing in a deep breath. She knows what she's capable of when she's running away from failure. She doesn't want to fall into the trap of coffee-fueled all-nighters and a self-image that's contingent on success. If she's been quietly drowning all this time, Stevie's the life raft offering her a chance to escape. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to work on it, she says again to both of them. I promise. Stevie's lips graze her collarbone as she nods. So what are you going to do? Make a 30-60-90 for yourself so you can start enjoying your hobbies again? Where does this fall in the Eisenhower matrix? Shut up, Ruth says on a laugh that cuts the tension in her body. It's exactly what she needs. I was just going to see what happens. Yeah, right. Stevie tightens her arm around Ruth's waist. Answer my question. They're quiet again, save for the sound of their breathing, before Ruth says, urgent and important. That's my girl, Stevie says, tilting her head back and pulling Ruth down for a kiss. The end.